Trinity Sunday. The Sunday after Pentecost is always Trinity Sunday. It's unusual in the schedule of church holidays and festivals because it's the only one that celebrates a doctrine rather than either a person or an event. Most of the time we would remember some saint or celebrate some event like the coming of the Holy Spirit last week on Pentecost or the birth of Jesus at Christmas or the resurrection at Easter, the offering of Jesus in the temple and so forth. But this time we celebrate a doctrine. Now, I don't actually want to spend my time on the doctrine today of the Trinity and try to explain to you the Trinity. It's one of those things we just put in the category of it's a mystery. We don't have it all figured out. I had a friend in a previous parish who used to come to me every once in a while, and he'd tell me, well, I think I've got it figured out, this Trinity thing. And my answer was always the same, Jim, if you think you've got it figured out, you don't. What I want to think about, though, is actually I want to continue to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. Because of the three of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that I find remains a bit of a mystery and that we get confused about and messed up about and have some weird ideas about what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Most of us tend to default to this idea that, you know, it's kind of like an energy drink to get me through the week or something. That it's just that piece of God that lives within me to give me that extra little jolt to get over the hump of whatever it is that I need to do. The scripture actually gives us a much better picture of what the work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Now, last week on Pentecost, we talked about how the Holy Spirit works to release us, free us from fear and anxiety that would keep us from being the people that God has designed and intended for us to be. And I do think that's a primary work of the Holy Spirit. But we get a little more of it in today's gospel lesson, which is selected, by the way, because it talks about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all together in a very short number of verses. But included in those verses is a passage that has been used to justify a lot of, frankly, dumb stuff in the life of the church. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. As though somehow when we get together and take a democratic vote, that's automatically the Holy Spirit guiding the church. Now, if we're going to be truthful and honest about what the work of the Holy Spirit is, we need to look at what Jesus is saying about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so actually we need to back up just a few verses because he says some very intentional, deliberate, and profound things about what the Holy Spirit is going to do, about what the truth is that this Spirit of truth is going to bring to us. So let me read to you what Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to do. And when he comes, that is the Holy Spirit, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Three categories, and the work of the Spirit is going to help us see that we're not getting it right. That there's another truth, a deeper truth for us about sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Now, these sentences require a bit of unpacking. I get that, because it's not immediately obvious why when he says we're wrong about sin because we don't believe in Jesus. What does that really have to do with it? Well, here's what he's getting at. our tendency is to see sin as infractions against a code of law. We see it like our legal system. We have a set of rules that we're supposed to obey, and if we disobey those rules, then we're subject to fines or arrest or whatever it might be based on the rules. And we tend to carry that same view to our understanding of sin. And the church has taught that a lot. In fact, I think one of the places we're really guilty of it is in Sunday school, where we, you know, teach kids these lessons and we tell them, see, if you don't behave yourself, then something bad is going to happen to you like it happens to that person or whatever. But what Jesus says is we're wrong about sin because, not because we're bad rule followers, but because we don't believe in him. You see, the heart of sin is not that we fail to obey the rules correctly. The heart of sin is that we turn away from God's revealing of himself in Jesus and in the scriptures. Sin at its center is to turn away from God. And then all those little individual sins, telling lies, stealing, adultery, bearing false witness, all of those things, they come up because, well, frankly, because I want it my way. That's why we lie, isn't it? Because I want it my way. That's why we steal, because I want it for me. That's why we commit adultery, because I want my thing. Right? When we turn away from God, we inevitably turn to ourselves. And the heart of sin is that we turn from God, turn from Jesus. You see, we're wrong about sin because we think it's simply about breaking the rules. I remember when I was a kid, I had a lot of Catholic neighbors. And they were always in, you know, catechism and so forth. And they would have to memorize the commandments and learn about how to go say confession and so forth. And we would actually compare notes about how many of the Ten Commandments we had broken. Well, most of us were guilty of bearing false witness pretty much every week. Honoring father and mother, well, that's a judgment call, but basically we admitted that we were pretty guilty. Most of us hadn't killed anybody yet, you know. But we would compare notes about it, as though that was at the heart of it. But what's at the heart of it is our turning to God, our seeking to be in relationship with him. And so you see, what we misunderstand about sin is just that we think it's about rules, and it's not. It's about the direction that we turn our hearts and our lives. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us that. So part of the work of the Holy Spirit is going to help us turn not to a set of rules, but to a relationship. I can't think about this without thinking about the Big Bang Theory. I don't know how many of you watch that show, but Sheldon, the central character, loves to write these relationship agreements. He has a relationship agreement with his roommate. He has a relationship agreement with his girlfriend. He has a relationship agreement eventually with his wife. Everything is based on this relationship agreement. We chuckle and we laugh about it because we know that ain't how it works. A marriage doesn't work because we have a good relationship agreement and we each obey all the rules correctly. A marriage works because we are devoted to the person, not to the rules. And the same is true in our relationship with God. Our faith works not based on how well we obey the rules, but on our devotion to the person, because God's devotion is to us. You see, and our call is to be devoted to him. And then Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to prove us wrong about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. Now again, on the surface of it, we tend to think, what? What is Jesus being here or not here have to do with righteousness? Well, the problem is that we make the same mistake, you see. The same way we tend to think that sin is about breaking a set of rules, we have the tendency to think that righteousness is about keeping the rules well enough. That if I could just grit my teeth and be smart enough and clever enough and disciplined enough to obey all the rules and do it just right, then I'll be righteous. And Jesus is saying to us that the Holy Spirit is going to show us that that's wrong. That is not where righteousness is to be found. You see, instead of being here as an example for us to follow, as though we simply have to duplicate Jesus' behavior, he goes to the Father. Because what makes us righteous is intimacy with God. Intimacy with the Father. And righteousness flows out of that relationship. Just like healthy treatment of a spouse flows out of our intimacy with that spouse, so too, right behavior flows out of the intimacy of our relationship with God. You see, we're wrong because we think it's about gritting our teeth and behaving well enough. And what it's really about is seeking that intimate relationship with God that Jesus has. That's what we need to emulate. That's what we need to follow after. It's not going to do us any good to wear sandals because Jesus wore sandals. That's not righteousness. Although robes are pretty cool. No, it's about pursuing the intimacy of that relationship with God. So the second piece he's telling us of the work of the Holy Spirit is going to be to help draw us into that intimate relationship with the Father that flows out in righteousness. And then finally, the third thing he says is that we are wrong about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. This is our final exerciser. What? Because the ruler of this world has been condemned. You see, most of us see judgment in a juridical way, like a judge passing judgment and sentence on somebody in a court of law. And what we're worried about is the judgments that are passed in this world. And it's not even just the court judgments, the judgments of others that I'm too fat or too thin or too rich or too poor or too dumb or too unclever, or too much of a failure, or too arrogant, or too whatever. And we worry about the judgments that are going to be passed on us according to the standards of this world. But guess what? The ruler of this world has been condemned. That judgment is done. The judgment we need to be worried about is the judgment of God. You see, we spend our time and our energy being worried about the judgments that we suffer in the course of this life by the standards of this world. The Holy Spirit is coming to teach us that that's not the judgment that matters. The judgment that matters is the judgment of God. And how do we know that we are in the right side of God? We turn to Him. We don't do it by obeying the rules correctly. That's how we satisfy the judges of this world. We turn to God. We seek that intimate relationship with Him. That's the judgment that we need to be concerned about. No other judgment matters. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit is to teach us that, to teach us to look to God. So that helps us get a big picture of what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Because you see, the work of the Holy Spirit is not just to get me over the hump of a tough week, is not just to guide me about which car to buy, although we may pray for those things and trust that the Spirit brings us guidance in those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not the extent, nor is it the core of the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to God. Listen to what he says here. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, that is Jesus, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, what the work of the Holy Spirit is going to be is to tie us up in that circle of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into that intimate relationship with God. That is the heartbeat of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be other things. The Holy Spirit will bring us guidance in doing that. But we receive that guidance by being brought into that place of intimacy with the Father and the Son. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit declares to us the work and the words and the person of Jesus and the Father. The Holy Spirit isn't here to draw attention to himself, but to tie us up with God, to point us to God, to nurture us in that relationship. I'm thankful that God has revealed himself to us in a Trinity. You see, we don't get just one piece of God. We get all the pieces that we need. When we think of the notion of God, we need to know that we have a source, a creator, a purpose, who designed us with intentionality and will and love. And we have a place in the creation because we are created and designed by that Father. And we know that we fall short. We know that we don't live up to what that Father asks of us. And so he comes to walk beside us in the person of Jesus and to restore us to the Father. And then to connect all of that together, to live inside of us, to teach us within us in a way that binds all that together and binds us to the Father for eternity. Our God is a God who is complete in Trinity, that we may ultimately be bound to him. Amen.